Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Okay, big 2 o'clock hour. We got the side question. Got a great one today. All-time small town, real or fictional? There's one on the boards I was going to take off, but I let go. It is a great answer. We'll have that. Michael Whatley, head of the RNC, co-chair of the RNC, with us with an update on the Trump campaign and also what they're doing in Pennsylvania. But I just read this, Henry and everyone else. In New Jersey, this just tells you how far the government goes. In New Jersey, approved girls football is a pilot. It's eligible to become an official sport in December 2025. Currently, it's still classified as a non-strenuous sport. So girls can compete in flag football and also in lacrosse or softball in the spring. If and when the sport is officially approved, girls will have to choose. Just think of these maniacs. In other words, when I was in high school, you had the two-sport athlete. They're saying in Jersey, apparently, and not just with girls. I don't think they would do that, that it's not sexual identity or whatever. I think boys, too. If they are official sports, apparently, then you can't do two of them. That's too strenuous. I'm reading it again. The Philadelphia Inquirer says, it is currently classified as a non-strenuous sport. If and when the sport is officially approved, girls will have to choose between playing flag football and then in the spring playing something like softball or lacrosse. Now picture these idiots, the progressives involved in this stuff. So that means I play flag football, and then in the spring, I want to play softball. Really? It's that taxing that you can't do that?
I mean, that'll make their numbers take a hit easy. Because it's a fall sport, I assume?
Right.
Yeah, yes. So playing soccer at that time?
Right.
Yeah, you're not. I don't think you're going to draw the people away from that. I'm sorry.
Well, also, it's more this calculation. Just think of the micromanaging, not allowing the family and the girl, or boy, apparently this is, if you can look it up and see if that applies to, I think it applies to males too. Otherwise, they'd be completely sexist. I need a coach or parents out there. In what universe can you suddenly not play one sport in the fall and then one sport in the spring? Why? Inquirer says it's a non-strenuous sport at this point. It's not an official sport. It's like an exhibition or something. But when it becomes a recognized sport in New Jersey, then you cannot compete in flag football and then lacrosse or softball in the spring. You'll have to choose. It's too strenuous. Just think of it. Every level of our lives. Anybody defend that? You're moronic. You don't belong in sports. There used to be people that played, now, playing three sports during a year might be fairly difficult. But what we've done with youth sports, this kind of gets to that too, is we've taken away a lot of the rough and tumble of it. You know, we've taken away just the ability to get enjoyment out of sports. I'm reading right from it. I think they're right. You got to choose. Are you going to play flag football in the spring and then in the fall, and then in the spring, you can't play another sport, at least the sports that I mentioned. All right. The Dow is jumping. It's on fire. It's up about 47 to 50%. Why? The Federal Reserve has cut rates for the first time in 4 years. I'm looking to see, Henry, if you happen to see this, I'm looking too. Did they cut it by a quarter point or a half point? Let's see. The only point I'll make, too, is why did they not cut rates a few months ago? Why do it 46 days before the election? Well, that's one of the motivating factors to do it now, because they want to help Kamala Harris. They want to show some stimulation to the economy. This is just like the border thing. In other words, after they broke it, it's a half point. Wow. All right. You know, somebody out there can explain the difference. And the half point was not expected. They cut the interest rates by a half point. It was expected they would do a quarter, but not about a half. And again, I'm seeing the jump right now. I almost have a hotline to my own 401k plan here. I'm watching it instantly. We may have to take a break here. Cut it by a half a point. I think it's the right thing to do, but the question is, why now? Will this juice the economy? Because that's all important. And President Trump was talking about the economy on top of inflation. Not that good. Now, this still doesn't take away the curse of inflation that's there. But maybe it offers people listening now and others the opportunity to get into a first-time home. I'm already seeing, you know, how Democrats are going to play this. What Harris will do is she'll talk about this now because of the wonderful news of the economy. That's how she'll pitch it. And then run out the clock some more. It's all about running out those days so that America doesn't see her as we do. These undecided voters in the six swing states. So the Dow has jumped about 208 points. It'll probably jump a full percentage point. This is where, if I weren't doing this, you could put me in charge of something else. The U.S. Secret Service has postponed its report, its release of a report on the Trump shooting. We may hear something, but not today, not tomorrow, the full report that's out there. They postponed it. They ought to be dragged in before the House and told, you're not postponing anything. Tell us what the report is. How many days out? Who remembers the first shooting now? They're trying to rush us past the second shooting. This is the tactic. This organization has to be stopped. They're not about protecting Trump. They're about running out the clock, making excuses for what they have become, a joke. They are a joke. And I'm not even going to put, oh, well, yeah, Dom, come on, the brave men. Oh, we all know that. I'm talking about what really matters here, which is protection of Trump's life. All right, Michael Whiteley's in the on-deck circle, the head of the RNC. I asked him about both of these and what's going on in Pennsylvania, and we'll continue to watch. A full half point is a big deal. And then we'll have Dom's Money Melody. We got the side question going on. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push pound 1210. All right. We'll hear momentarily from Mr. Whiteley, Michael Whiteley, the head of the RNC. Two breaking stories here. One, they cut the rate, the interest rate, by a half point, not a quarter. And in economic terms, that's big. Why do all that now? I'm sure Whiteley will tell us what they think, the Republicans think. And also, the U.S. Secret Service says they're not ready to release their report. You know, there's got to be, I've said this all this week, there's got to be some action, some governmental body that can jump into the arrogance and ineffectiveness of this group and deal with them. All right, let me take a quick call here. Hit us with that all-time small town. Let's go to Alan in Hamilton on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Alan. What's your small town?
St. Albans, Vermont.
Okay, why?
Because that was the northernmost battle of the Civil War.
Okay.
A group of escape prisoners from Pottsville, and he got the okay from the government ahead of him, and he robbed three banks, and planning to do more, but then the war ended.
All right, thanks, Alan. All right, we'll put that on the list. That's what we're looking for today, in honor of the fact we've been talking about small towns big time here, like Springfield, Ohio, and, of course, Charleroi certainly is in the news. Let's try Robert in Bensalem. Hello, Robert. Now, you are our dollar guy here. What do you think of this full half point? How big is that?
That is good to get the economy going again if it was under normal circumstances. It's not going to hurt. It's a good thing economically, but you're right about the timing, and it's not going to have the effect until the – it wouldn't have the effect that it would have if our dollar amount matched our GDP, which it doesn't right now. If everything was copacetic, that would be massive, that half a point.
Yeah.
This is – I'm thinking it's just for political cover. But Trump nailed it. We had the monetary inflation by them printing up $4.8 trillion and spending it, and that was a big problem. But that was made worse by the market inflation, like their attack on fossil fuels. He opens up them spigots that handles the market inflation in one fell swoop. But we don't – we deal with this inflation until our GDP reaches about $34 trillion, and it's almost $31 trillion now. So 2 or 3 years, this inflation should be – a thing of the past, but only if he does what he says he's going to do, which is great. Open up them spigots. That'll get the ball rolling. The optimism will improve immediately. Immediately.
I agree. And the alternative on the other side is, my God, how bad it'll be, or my God, it'll be even worse than that.
Well, it could be. This might actually make it worse if it causes an increase in borrowing at a time when the dollars still haven't been absorbed by the economy. But that gets off into the weeds. I don't want to do that, but, my small town. With all the craziness going on, I'm going with Funny, Dom, and I'm going to go with South Park, Colorado.
That's a good one.
You guys have a great tale, right?
Thank you, Robert. That is a very good one. So two breaking stories here. One, why now? Is it a belated attempt or is it economically sound? Half a point is a big difference versus a quarter. And you're going to see that reaction. It will allow Harris several news cycles to just throw this out there versus answering, what are you really going to do about inflation, as Trump did last night in Michigan? The other is this situation around the Secret Service saying, no, we're postponing releasing this report. Let's go to the RNC chairman, Michael Whatley. It's a great moment to have him with us here. Chairman, it's always good to have you, but two big breaking stories right now, just in the last few minutes.
Hey, Dom, it's good to be on with you as well.
All right, so we have the U.S. Secret Service, and well, we know the whole thing about the men and women protecting the president, throwing their body in the line of fire. But the leadership, the whole mechanism of this, what happened in Florida, again, they are saying now they're not going to release that report, and they'll release it pretty much when they're good and ready.
Yeah, look, I think from our perspective, you know, the president is extraordinarily grateful for the actions of the Secret Service agents that are with him, that have protected him both in Pennsylvania and in Florida. Look, they're going to go through their internal gyrations. They're going to have their investigations, you know, internal as well as the congressional. We're going to let that go where it needs to go. I think that the key on this is that in Pennsylvania, it's very clear, right? Catastrophic failure in terms of protecting the president. There is absolutely no excuse ever that guy should have been there. In Florida, they're very lucky that agent was there. They had a very good process for it, that they were able to stay, you know, a couple holes ahead of him and do the protective sweeps that they did, and that they found this guy, you know. And, you know, so I think, again, you know, all credit to those agents that are on the ground. But, you know, from the overall perspective of the Secret Service, you know, they need the resources to be able to protect the president. And this is not about, you know, comparing the service protection that Kamala Harris is getting or Joe Biden is getting to the president. They need to protect everybody. What we have seen over the last, you know, 60 days are two attempts on the president's life. You know, I think, frankly, a conversation on the rhetoric that the Democrats have been using to try and gin up this hatred for Donald Trump, to talk about the need to eliminate him. We actually had, you know, one of the ladies in Congress say that he needed to be shot. We had another congressman say that he needs to be eliminated. You know, this is rhetoric that is superheated right now and is really needs to tone down.
Exactly. The other breaking story is the long-awaited 4 years the Fed has acted. Instead of a quarter point, a half point. Do you see anything political in this, or is this the right move?
Look, I'm going to let the economists talk about the moves, and I'm going to defer to them. But what I can say is, you know, certainly you have an action that could, you know, get the economy rolling again. And I think that I don't want that to take away from the fact that Kamala Harris cast the tie-breaking vote on $2.5 trillion worth of inflationary spending, which unleashed higher gas prices, grocery prices, and housing prices. And if the Fed is going to come in and save the day here with, you know, lower interest rates, the fact is those interest rates are still substantially higher than they were when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris took office. And those interest rates had to go up solely because of the inflationary spending. So, you know, this entire loop is the fault of Kamala Harris for casting those tie-breaking votes. And the fact that every single American family, you know, it costs twice as much today to buy the same house as it did 4 years ago, the same house. And that's because these interest rates went through the roof because of the inflationary spending that Kamala Harris has unleashed on the country.
We're talking with RNC co-chairman Michael Whatley. Chairman, another victory here, a big one. When you get the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which was a rogue court in my view in 2020, to say no, the legislature has the power here to tell you what you have to do with your mail-in ballot, superseding maybe an even more out-of-control Commonwealth Court, that's a good victory, and it across the board has to bleed into the idea of some degree of integrity in the system this time around.
We could not agree more. I think it's really important when the state law says that the ballot has to be dated, and it has to be dated by a certain date, and it needs to be in by a certain date. That's what the law means, and that's what the legislature meant. And I'm very glad that the court has you know, upheld that particular provision. You know, what we're seeing in Pennsylvania, we're seeing all across the country, is a lot more attention is being paid to election integrity. And I think that, you know, I'm pretty proud of the fact that we have set up the first ever national election integrity program, and that we're getting these wins in courts. And it's basically a recognition of rules are rules, you know, and obviously every state is allowed to pass its own rules. You know, some states have 17 days of early voting. Some states have 10. Some states, you know, Virginia has 45 days, right? We're happy and content with the states that are passing those rules. What we don't want is for, you know, boards of elections or secretaries of state to ignore those rules when it helps one party over another. And we don't want courts to throw those rules out willy-nilly just because they've got, you know, Democrat activists that are coming to them and saying it's not fair. If it's not fair, go back to the legislature and try and change the law. And we're seeing, I think, a lot more strict adherence to the rules this time around, and I'm very happy about that.
You may not know these guys because you're doing this national thing, but you really have drilled down on Pennsylvania. But I had on Kevin Kelly the other day, and Joe DeFelice, who formerly worked with the Trump people, are both helping with election integrity in Philadelphia. in my estimation, you can't find two better people who are savvy about what we face here in Philadelphia. And it speaks well that the Trump campaign is making an all-out effort on that issue, and that's what you're known for.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I think you just mentioned two of the best, and Ms. Kearns that we have over there in Philadelphia is another absolutely fantastic one. And I will give a lot of credit to Lawrence Tabus, the chair of the Pennsylvania GOP, because this is something that he has cared about for decades, and he has been on the ground fighting in his vineyards before. And I'll just tell you, you know, when I came in as the chair and we were putting this program together, I told my team, I don't want any training wheels. I want the best. Go hire the best. Tell them, bring them to me, put them in front of me, and we'll bring them on board. And I really do want a very professional team in every battleground state. Look, Pennsylvania, it's the eye of the hurricane. It's the number one most important state in the entire country. And the area around Philadelphia and the collar counties is going to be so tremendously important, not just for how the election goes in Pennsylvania, but what happens nationally. And we want to make sure that we get it right. So, yeah, we are very proud of the team that we've got on the ground and really excited about what we're seeing right now with the enthusiasm that we're getting and the number of people that we're getting to go to, you know, protectthevote.com and sign up and be part of our election integrity team.
Well, look, I can vouch for that. All my experience here forever in Philadelphia, these guys are as good as it gets, and it speaks of what you're doing. They get Philadelphia. They've been through it, and Kearns is as good of a lawyer as you're going to find. So the best website to go to, Chairman, again, is what?
Protectthevote.com. And you can sign up. There's a tab on there for lawyers, they can sign up because we certainly are going to need to have lots of attorneys that are going to be on the ground. You know, the key is get the rules of the road right before voting starts, and we're working on that today. And then make sure that you're in the room whenever a vote is counted or a vote is cast. We're very excited about the numbers and the enthusiasm that we've seen in Pennsylvania, but we need more, and we're going to continue to work very hard to recruit and train as many volunteers as we can.
Great work, Chairman. Anytime. Thank you. Thanks for calling in today.
Dom, thanks so much. Really appreciate you and your listeners.
All right, there's RNC co-chair Michael Whiteley. And when we had Kevin on the other day, who's a friend, and Joe DeFelice, he said, oh, yeah, it won't just be lawyers. We have the requisite no-neck guys. You can have enough lawyers, maybe, maybe not, but you can never have enough no-neck guys. Always, now, if you have a no-neck guy who's a lawyer, that's the guy that I'm hiring, you know? A 5'10" guy, but in pretty good shape, like 200 pounds with no neck, and a brilliant lawyer, that's what you need in Philadelphia. Or Linda Kearns. All right, so 855-839-1210. You get in right now, special time today. It is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
All right, we are playing today for a copy of Letters to Trump, this fascinating book of what it was like when Trump was the toast of the world with all these celebrities. It's hilarious, two parts of it. Then he ran for president, and you know how they came after him. Henry, what's the backstory?
Yeah, so I'm going to keep it nice and simple today. War Pigs by Black Sabbath, released on this day in 1970. That's 54 years. That's kind of crazy to think about. I don't know about you. I think that's wild. Anyway, I want the name of the artist who covered that very famous song.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Let's hear it.
Generals gathered in the masses. It's like witches at black masses.
All right, hit us with that. Who's covering that song? You got the coffee table book that you'll really enjoy. 855-839-1210. You get on board, hit us with that. Give me a reaction to, look, the half a percentage point is huge news. And the fact that this Secret Service, they got to be dragged in then. We need to report. We need it today. They've had, I'll count the days up again. It is ridiculous. One of these is bleeding into the other. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board with Dom. Hey, how are your cholesterol levels? Managing healthy cholesterol is the key to a strong heart and overall wellness. For over 38 years, Rescue Natural Supplements has been a trusted ally in helping people reach their cholesterol goals. I've counted on Rescue, I've told you, for years, and with good reason. Their range of supplements is designed to meet your specific needs, from omega-3s to red yeast rice and more. Take charge of your heart health today. Use the code DROP at checkout to double your order on any cholesterol product for free. Call today at 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a knowledgeable product consultant or use the code online when you visit res-q.com, res-q.com. Remember to use the code DROP, buy one, get one free, on Rescue Cholesterol products. Double up your cholesterol support today. It's easy. Just use that code DROP at res-q.com.
It's Dom, Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right, every day at around 2:13 today, because special guests a little bit later hit us with, sometimes it's a cover song, sometimes it's a foreign language. Here's the clue. Who is it that is performing this cover song?
Generals gathered in the masses. It's like witches said, black masses.
All right, let's go to Lou in Cherry Hill. Hey, Lou, good afternoon. Who's doing the cover song here?
Hey, Dom, how you doing? This is actually Bobby B, but is that the Jack Black version?
All right, Bobby, it is not, but thank you. Thanks. Good to hear from you. Stephen Langhorne. All right, Steve, who's doing the cover song?
I think it's a band called Paranoid.
No, don't be paranoid. That'd be a good band name, Paranoid. Michael in Abington. Michael, who's doing the cover?
Hey, Dom. T-Pain?
All right. Nicely played, Michael. Enjoy the Trump Coffee Table book. I thought that would be even harder today. We'll do it again tomorrow with Henry at the controls around 2:13. All right. So we've had two big stories continue to come down. One, the Fed went big here. And part of me says, okay, good thing, finally digging out of this Biden mess. It will help investment. It will help the economy. It will help people trying to get into their first home, those kinds of things. It's been awful. The first time in 4 years. The bigger story in some ways, but now this is huge break. It has big economic impact. The markets are going up and down. But the Secret Service, nah, we're not ready yet with our report. This is what we're seeing here with the FBI, the Secret Service, any number of these agencies is defiance around this. They got to be told, you're giving us what you have right now. Sit down over there, type it up. All right? What is Congress, what are people going to do when we've had now a, by the way, I just saw this on Fox. Teamsters Research phone poll. Henry, if you can see anything online on this, I'm just going from Fox here. September 9th through the 15th indicates 58% supporting Trump to only 31% supporting Harris. Now, the Teamsters, apparently, the word is, are going to announce their endorsement today. All right. Only 31% support Harris. Could they possibly endorse Trump? And I know a lot of you, it's like the 11th commandment. You want to tell us all the time, you want to show off that endorsements don't matter. Look, endorsements don't matter to be definitive, but endorsements do matter. They move the needle here and there. And I have to say that Trump, this is indicative of the fact that Trump is not Mitt Romney. You know what I mean? He's not a guy in a top hat that wouldn't know a union guy because of the building, because of how he made his money. If the Teamsters endorse him, that just shows you the real antagonism toward Harris and that part of the Democrat Party. And it shows you that Trump is giving Republicans a new way to be competitive, that the Republican Party, despite the efforts of the Cheneys and some of these people, really is the party of so-called working people in America, across racial lines even. That would be huge, even if they didn't endorse anyone. That's still going to play out in the news cycle. So don't tell me about endorsements, that they don't matter. This is a group that is, because of Jimmy Hoffa, because of all that's going on in labor circles, it is something that pops. The Teamsters, you know that. What does it tell us about Harris? Well, what it tells me about the Teamsters president and leadership there, they might actually be legitimately listening for once to their rank and file. Now, will we ever see that in Philadelphia? No, unlikely. They don't. They cover it up. They bludgeon people. You know that. But this is a pretty interesting thing, and I'm not sure who are the other. I'll tell you tomorrow, you know, there might be some weird groups that you don't think of when you think of the Teamsters. Like the United Auto Workers have these college teachers unions now as part. So they're right there. You know, their guys are not going to go along with that, but they have to for the greater good of getting more and more money and benefits. So the Teamsters at this moment could be saying, you know what? We think if you're in a union like this, the phrase working class, the whole thing, you're better off in a Trump economy. This will be a few news cycles of this. And I bet you'll hear by tonight on CNN or MSNBC, one of their panels say, well, you know, these Teamsters, they're kind of racist anyhow. You'll start to hear that. They're misogynist. One of them will say, you know, these guys, look at their wives. Look at what they have to endure. That's what you're going to hear. Rather than Trump, with all the baggage, with all the stuff that we talked about, has broken through in a unique way. Who's the last Republican presidential candidate that was in the running? I'd have to go back and have to Google it. So before Trump, we had what? Mitt Romney. No way. McCain, I don't see that either. The Bushes, definitely not. What is the secret sauce? And again, it brings us to this point with President Trump. We see the upside that this is even contested. It's not just they detest Harris. It's that Trump has gone all out and his policies have been effective here. These guys are, a lot of them, America First. They're not woke. If he can just rein in some of the impulses that take away the magic of this. It's magic we're witnessing. That's what I see here. So if it happens on Rich's watch this afternoon, this is a big deal. I don't care what you say about endorsements. This gets at talking about Trump and what he stands for and what that offers in the future for Republicans. I don't know what other Republican out there has the ability for a lot of reasons to do that. We might talk about that tomorrow. All right. 855-839-1210. Let's go to the Earl of Tacony on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Earl, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Dom. Real quick, I sent you a link earlier today. I saw something on Twitter, so take that information for what it's worth. But they've been busing in a number of migrants into a northeastern Pennsylvania town called Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania, which is a town I'm very familiar with. I went to school in the area. I live in the area. Mm-hmm. It's a small town right on the Susquehanna River, right off of Route 6, which is the main line. I doubt very much that they're bringing that many people for the golf course, because Tunkhannock is known mainly for its golf course and the catering area. But there is a Procter & Gamble plant right down the road from Tunkhannock. So this is just, you know, my assumption of what people have been saying, that that's possible that they may be bringing in these people to work in some of the local factories, because there is some manufacturing in that area.
Well, Earl, to that point, and we'll check on that. Yeah, I did see what you said, and I'm already checking. That's the argument in Springfield and in Charleroi, that some of these businesses were in cahoots, and they brought people in behind the backs of some of the town officials, et cetera, with no notice, no nothing, because that's exactly what they want, cheap labor. Then they have the nerve to say Americans won't work, so we want these people. It's a double whammy going on here.
Right. We already have problems because I told you that there are benefits from the drilling for the natural gas. But there is also a problem in that area as a result of the drilling. And it's not the problem caused by the gas companies, but by people that are hanging on. The drug cartels put people in with the drilling companies as laborers to seek out new drug markets, because there's been a market increase in our area of drug overdoses. What happens is a lot of the cars up there, the vehicles up there from the gas companies, have Oklahoma and Texas tags, and they're bringing Oklahoma and Texas experts to go and do the drilling, and they're bringing local workers from the Texas area to go and work with them for, you know, doing unskilled labor.
Yeah, exactly.
And what it is, they're actually working for the cartels, seeking out new markets. It's like hitchhiking. They're hitchhiking along with the gas companies, moving into, you know, new rural areas. And then they go and they leave the gas company and they set up drug markets, you know, in the area.
It's not surprising. We've heard this before with prostitution, Earl. So we'll check on it. What's your small town, Earl?
Staying in the same area, sort of based on a town out of Elmira, New York. If you live there, you'll have a wonderful life. It's Bedford Falls.
Very good.
Based on the city of Seneca Falls and Bedford Hills in the southern tier of New York State.
That's a good one. Bedford Falls, even though mythical, based on something. That's pretty good. We got a couple of good ones so far, at least. All right, we'll have the lightning round next. And this Teamsters thing intrigues me. By tomorrow, we will, we'll know this afternoon, apparently. Are they going to defy their membership in their own poll and say, yeah, well, we can't go with Trump, he's Hitler? I don't think so. All right, 855-839-1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That is right, and Dom's lightning round, sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for only $369 per month, down payment, registration fee, and taxes due at inception. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Apparently, the head of the Teamsters is going to be on Fox with Neil Cavuto. I got to reach out to someone like John Dougherty, Johnny Doc. I will, through a source. Maybe he'll be on tomorrow, because he was one of the people that supported some of the stuff that Trump was talking about at various points here in Philadelphia. So what will the local Philadelphia labor leaders, well, we'll try to get them, if the Teamsters go ahead and endorse President Trump today. I think it's even money that it could happen. Releasing this poll indicates, Harris is not Joe Biden. And what's her reaction going to be? This is juicy stuff. And at Trump's rally tonight, you'll hear a lot. And with Rich, as it comes down, I guess sometime in the 3 o'clock hour, I think it's a big deal. All right, Joe in Bordentown, it's the lightning round, so be quick here. Joe, what's your all-time small town and why?
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, it's Superman. The town would be Smallville.
Very good. David in Langhorne, he's on the road. Dave, call back. My fault. That shouldn't have gone off, Dave. Mystic, Connecticut.
I'll put him on the board anyway.
Yeah, put him on the board, yes. Let's go to Drew in Upper Darby. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Dom, thanks a lot. You know, Dom, there's a town in Nebraska called Minowie, Nebraska. It's got a grand total population of one, and she's the mayor. So go figure.
Well, of course, I would hope. Minowie, Dave on in Langhorne now. Dave, thanks for being back in Mystic, Connecticut. Why, Dave?
It's got the largest museum, maritime museum. It's got this, you know, the big tall ships. And, you know, the whale watching industry is going to go away because all the greenies are killing all the whales.
Absolutely, Dave. Good. I like how you got the politics in on that. The great Joe of Exton. Joe, afternoon.
Yes, hello, Tom, and good afternoon. My small town is Middlebury, Vermont. Middlebury is the site of Middlebury College, known for its renown and excellence in the teaching of foreign languages.
All right, Joe, right on brand, as always. There you go. You can't make this up. People think we script him. No, he's a real guy. He's not an actor. Dave in Wincote, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dave, what's yours today?
Dominic, what I'm going to do is Charles Carolan had a Sunday morning show years ago, did a feature on Penn's Park in Bucks County, Wrightstown Township. A very historical, small town, about 3,200 residents between Richboro and New Hope.
I used to like the Carolt on the road again. I love that type of stuff. Absolutely. The backwoods of America. A lot of great small towns out there. It's a shame they're under fire from progressives, though. Joe in Fishtown. There's a great small town. Joe, what's yours?
Hey, Dom, all the businesses are shut down, even the local movie theater. And everybody's tuned into the radio with their fingers crossed for Hickory High School in the championship game, Hickory, Indiana.
Yes. You know, the great scene there, Henry, when they go, all right, here's what we're going to do. What's the name, Scott? The coach. We're going to trick him. And they all look at him. Are you kidding me? Yeah. No, it's my reaction, too.
Oh, it's everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. You and dance then, with who brung you. Jimmy's going to shoot it. That's what the play is.
The response.
Right. We don't.
I'll make it.
Yeah, exactly. We don't care how many people you put on Jimmy. Jimmy is going to shoot it. No flim flam here. Based upon pretty much a true story. Last one, Bruce in the Northeast. Bruce, what's yours?
Hey, Dom. You know, the late, great Phillies ball player, Dick Allen, number 15.
Yep.
He grew up in a small town called Wampum, Pennsylvania. Always remember that.
Absolutely. All one right. of my all-time favorite players. What he did early in his career was remarkable. All right, Henry, we got about 30 seconds. Give us a couple contenders today. These were good.
Yeah, I like Jerry and Wilmington's call when he referenced Groundhog Day when he brought up Punxsutawney. I also liked Joe Nexton's call, Middlebury, Vermont.
Right.
He didn't know this, but my fraternity was founded there, so he's got a little soft spot for me there. And then, of course, Joe in Fishtown with the Hickory Hoosiers. Gotta go there. I gotta throw that one in as well.
Yeah, I liked, because of the entertaining call, I liked Jerry in Wilmington.
All right.
Was beautifully done about Punxsutawney.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we will do it all tomorrow. Let's, fingers crossed, if the Teamsters endorse President Trump, that doesn't win the election, of course. But it opens up the whole avenue to talk about the difference with Trump versus Kamala Harris. All right, Richie always next. We're back tomorrow for 3 big hours right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.